Good morning. You get me one last time, and Jimmy will be back. He might be on his way back now. I have no idea, but I know that their ship docked this morning, and you know, it's like an 11-hour drive from New York. So just pray that they make it back safely. But I'm ready for Jimmy to come back and make all the decisions and be the pastor. You do grow an appreciation for your pastor when he leaves. Appreciate him when he's here. Amen, church? Amen. You do have a good pastor. He is a good pastor. And I know it seems, some of you are like, man, why are they so excited about AC in this church? Those of you who haven't been here, like, why are they so excited that they got AC? Well, we've been in this building for probably 11, 12 years now, and we've never had AC on that side ever. But I want to remind you, church, we prayed and fasted this year. Well, what did we pray and fast for? The AC. Seems simple, but God answers prayers. Amen, church? He gave us the money that we can do it. I'm glad we got AC. It gets hot over there. It's a blessing. It's a blessing that God answers prayers. It's a blessing that when we prayed and fasted for things, God answered us. Even with something so simple as what we would say, AC. But I'm thankful for the Lord that He answers our prayers. Expect them to finish answering the prayers that we prayed and fasted for, because God always comes through. I hope you listen to the songs we sang this morning. Do you believe, church? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe in the Lord, the Savior of the world? Do you believe that He's still mighty to save? Do you believe that He's the Son of God who is mighty to save? Do you believe He paid it all for your life? Do you believe that He sacrificed His life for you and I, that He poured out His blood for you and I? Listen to me, He loves us so much that He paid it all. Oh, praise the One who paid it all. Oh, praise Jesus Christ today that He's paid it all for our life. Praise the Lord that He was mighty enough to save my life. I hope you can praise Him today that He was mighty enough to save your life. Because listen to me, we didn't deserve it. Our debt was too high. Our debt was too big. But because of the love of God, He sacrificed His life that yet we were still sinners. Christ died for us. Thank you, Lord. Amen, church. Thank you, Lord, that He's died for us. Thank you, Lord, that He's been resurrected from the grave. Praise the Lord, He sits at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you and I. Praise the Lord for the Holy Spirit this morning, because with it, He's our comforter, our encourager. How could we make it through this world of misery and evil if it wasn't for God's Spirit living inside of us? Oh, praise the Lord, church. Praise the Lord. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. This will be a little bit tougher of a message this morning, but that's okay. It's okay to chew on some tougher verses. It's okay to chew on some tougher passages and scriptures in the Word of God. It's so encouraging to know that the Word of God is true. It never comes back void. It's always going to stand firm. It's never going to fail you. The Word of God is so powerful in our life. But before we get into Matthew chapter 13, I want to read John 15:5. Listen to it closely. I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Listen to me. Jesus is the vine and we're the branches. We're not the vine. He's the vine and we're the branches. And He says, if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. You'll bear nothing but fruit if you remain in Jesus Christ. You'll bear nothing but good fruit when you live in Jesus Christ. That's such a blessing in our life. There's no one like Jesus Christ. But what does He say? Apart from me, you can do nothing. You can do a lot of things in this world, but without Christ, they're nothing. Without Christ, they're nothing. They're like a clanging cymbal. It's just a sound. But with Christ, you can bear awesome fruit, great fruit, fruit that is everlasting, fruit that will sustain you in your life, because He is the vine and we are the branches. One of my jobs here at the church is spraying for weeds. It's not a fun job. If you like spraying weeds, I will give you the job of spraying weeds. It takes me about 2 hours, sometimes 2.5 hours. There's 7 properties that we spray weeds on. I probably go through about 1/2 gallon of Roundup when I spray for weeds. And let me tell you, I get this ready. I spray the sidewalks. I get all done. I'm done with the other building, and I'm walking back. Guess what I find? More weeds. It's like they just popped up. They just grew up. As soon as I sprayed them, there's another one that popped up right beside me. It's a never-ending battle spraying for these weeds here, especially now that it's gotten hot, especially now that, you know, the plants are starting to come up and the sun is shining. Listen to me. Weeds around here can be difficult. They can. Many of you know this in your own houses. Maybe you have gardens. My dad and my stepmom, they used to. They don't do it anymore because it's a lot of work. Had a garden probably about, 30 by 80 feet. Big garden. Had green beans, cucumbers, okra, tomatoes, the works. Everything that you can think of. Squash, zucchini, all that stuff. And one of our jobs as kids was to go in the garden and pull weeds. But when I first started pulling weeds, I had no idea what was a weed and what was the plant. I couldn't tell you how many probably tomato plants I ripped right out of the ground because I thought they were weeds. Oh no, that's a plant. That's a plant. Or when they're just blooming and we start, I can't garden. I tried it. I can't do it. They all die. I don't know what I do wrong, but it just doesn't work. It just doesn't work when I do it. But I remember when I first planted some seeds, I'm like, oh, I think that's the tomato plant coming up. No, it was a weed. It was a weed. Weeds can be difficult. But let me remind you, church, we live in a world that is filled with evil and misery. Lots of weeds. Lots of weeds in this world. Nothing good. Weeds, nothing good. They suck the nutrients from the plant. They entangle the plant. They take the life away from the plant. Lots of weeds in this world. Lots of evil and misery. And listen to me, Satan is trying to destroy your life. Don't think he's not. Especially if you're a believer in Christ today, you have a target on your back. Satan is looking to plant weeds in your life. Satan is looking to plant weeds in your life. He's looking to plant evil. He's looking to plant misery. He's looking to plant suffering in your life. And he's doing a pretty good job in this world. Look around. Look around at the world that we live in. We say evil is good. Is not Satan doing a pretty good job in this world today, especially America? Evil's good. If the devil could say he won, all he would have to say, do the people say evil is good? Do the people follow the word of God? I'm not seeing a whole lot of that. Satan is trying to destroy our life. What's his job? Is to steal, kill, and destroy your life. That's all he cares about. If he can take you out, he takes a lot of people around you out. Especially fathers. Listen to me. We're getting close to Father's Day. If Satan can get you, typically he gets the whole family. If Satan can plant weeds in the father's life, typically he gets the weeds in everybody else's life. Remember that if you're a father today, you got to be always ready, always weeding out the weeds in your life. Satan is really good about putting evil and misery and suffering. We live in a world where sin abounds. There's lots and lots of sin. Sin abounds. Maybe in your own life, maybe before Christ, if you can remember, did sin not abound? I remember before Christ, sin abounded in my life more and more. I can't even imagine or think about all the things I did wrong. I still do wrong. I still sin. I still mess up, just like all of us. But before Christ, before the Holy Spirit was able to convict my life and bring guilt into my life, maybe you can remember those days where before Christ, oh wow, pretty shameful things I'd done. Pretty messed up things I've done. Satan really put the weeds in my life. And believers fall to sin every day. Maybe you fell to sin yesterday. Maybe you fell to temptation yesterday. Maybe you fell to sin this morning, last week, a month ago, whenever it was. Believers fall to sin every day. Weeds. Simple as that. Weeds in our life. You can't grow with weeds in your life. You keep sinning and sinning and sinning and sinning and expect God to flourish you. Expect God to allow you to grow in this life. It won't happen. not with weeds in our life. They destroy our fruit. If Satan can do anything, he wants to destroy your fruit. Why is fruit, good fruit, why is remaining in the vine and God allowing us to produce good fruit, why is that so important? Because people need to hear the gospel. And when good fruit's not being produced in your life, you can't share the gospel. So let me ask you this morning, church, are there weeds in your life? This is a good time to reflect before we actually get into the message. It's not a game. Sin is a serious thing. It separates us from God. It hurts our relationship. We can't draw near to God. And He's not going to draw near to you with weeds in your life. But oh, praise the one who says, if you come to me and confess your sins, I'm faithful and just to forgive you of all your sins and cleanse you from all your unrighteousness. Praise the one who takes us back when we repent. Praise the one who restores our relationship in God. Because if He didn't, we're stuck in the weeds. We're stuck in the weeds. So I'll ask you again, are there weeds in your life? Is there sin in your life? Is there sin in your life? Matthew chapter 13. Tough passage we're going to look at this morning. Might not get a whole lot of amens. That's okay. But Matthew 13 is an important chapter. It's a fulfillment of prophecy. It says the Messiah is going to come and speak in parables and signs and all those things. And in Matthew 13, there's lots of parables. A lot of them are about what the kingdom of heaven is like. What the kingdom of heaven is like. But a really awesome parable that is in Matthew 13, many of us know it, is the parable of the four soils. The parable of the four soils, you all know it. It's about how the people would receive the word of God. There's four different types, and one of the types is the path. The seed falls on the path. Well, what happens when the seed falls on the path? The birds come and eat it up. Then the second one is the rocky places. Well, the soil's so shallow in the rocky places, as soon as the sun hits it, it scorches it out, and it's no more. It dies. The third one is the thorns and thistles. Well, what happens when the plant grows up in the thorns and thistles? The thorns and the thistles entangle it, suffocate it, and it dies. But the fourth one, most importantly, and if you're a believer in Christ, you've experienced this, is the good soil. When the seeds fall on the good soil, what happens? Oh, they grow and they produce fruit and it's wonderful and it's great. And listen to me, when you've heard the message of Christ, when someone shared the message of Jesus Christ with you and you've come to believe in Christ, you are the good soil. You allowed the message of Christ to richly dwell inside you, to impact your life, and you believed in Christ and it's changed your whole life. That's how awesome the good soil is. So I pray that we, when we look at this message, we're the good soil. We allow it to change our lives. We allow the word of God to change our life, but we're not going to talk about the four soils. We're going to talk about the parable of the weeds. Pretty tough passage. I want to talk about two things: weeds in our life, but weeds in the world. Weeds in our life, but weeds in the world. Verse 24 says, Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. This man that is described here in this parable is Christ. It's Jesus Christ. And who sowed good seed, that's you and I. We're the good seed, and the field is the world. Jesus Christ sowed good seed in this world. If you're a believer in Christ, you're part of the good seed. Well, what does that mean? You're part of the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven that is here on earth, but also the kingdom of heaven that is in heaven, that's with God, that's with Christ. You're a part of that. You're the good seed. You're the great seed that Christ planted. Well, what does that mean? That means you have a place in heaven. You have a place with Christ. Praise the Lord that He's made you good seed. He's made you wheat. But verse 25, listen to it closely. It says, but while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. And when the wheat sprouted and formed heads, the weeds also appeared. See, listen to me. Christ, awesome. He sowed good seed, but there's an enemy who's sowing wheat or sowing weeds. Who's the enemy? That's the devil. Christ comes to sow good seed, but the devil comes to sow weeds. Some of us have been lied to by the devil. Oh, this will be great for your life. This will be great for your life. This will be great for your life. Well, what happened when that sprouted? It was just a weed. Worth nothing. See, the weeds that are described in this parable, most people think it's what we would call darnel. I don't really know what that is, but it's a weed that looks like wheat. Exactly like wheat. This is the seed that he's talking about. So Satan is going to try to resemble wheat as much as he can in your life. But it's just a weed. Just a weed. Satan is actively destroying to destroy the work of Christ. And he's doing a pretty good job. He sows weeds in our lives. Well, what does these weeds look like? Jealousy. Anger. Envy, selfish ambition, selfishness, pride, greed, lying, and the like, sexual immorality, drunkenness, debauchery, orgies, and the like. Satan is sowing weeds upon weeds in our life. And listen to me, when these weeds take root in our life, they destroy it. Why am I not where I need to be in Christ? Maybe it's because you have weeds in your life. Maybe it's because you have weeds in your life that you're not where you used to be. Maybe it's because you have weeds in your life is because you're not growing in Christ anymore. Maybe you have weeds in your life and you don't have joy anymore. Maybe you have weeds in your life and you don't have that joy of your salvation anymore. You don't have the joy to share it with somebody else anymore. Maybe you've been stagnant your whole life. Maybe you've been stagnant ever since Satan's been sowing weeds in your life. Satan is here to destroy your life. But listen to me, weeds have consequences. They're not something that just sit there and they don't do anything and they just don't look like anything. They keep us from producing good fruit in our life. Weeds take the good fruit and they ruin it. They destroy it. They make it rotten. They make it where you can't reach your full maturity in Christ. They make us babies in Christ when we have weeds in our life. And listen to me, they spread. Weeds spread all the time. Like I told you, when I'm spraying for weeds, it's like they just pop up right as I go. Weeds spread over and over. There are some weeds that are just an infestation. They spread and they spread and they spread. And it's hard to get rid of them. A lot of times you got to suffocate them, you got to burn them, whatever that looks like. They spread. And when weeds are in our life, when sin is in our life, it often spreads. Most people don't just commit one sin and they're done. What happens when we commit sin in our life? It typically leads to more sin. When you allow jealousy to take root in your life, what does it tend to lead to? Gossip and slander and hatred and bitterness, all those different things. And when you allow angerness to take root in your life, it often leads to hatred. You don't want to work with those people anymore. You don't like those people anymore. And when we allow pride to take root in our life, oh wow, no one can be as good as me. No one can do the jobs that I can do here. Oh wow, what a horrible thing. And Satan would love to sow pride in the life of the believer, and greed and lying and all those different things. When they take root in your life, they destroy your witness in Christ. Your one job really in this world is to share the love of Jesus Christ. But when there's weeds in your life, you can't effectively share the good fruit that is in your life. You can't effectively share the message of Jesus Christ. They make us useless. Weeds in our life make us useless. Hebrews 6:8 says, "But land that produces thorns and thistles is worthless." A believer that produces thorns and thistles is useless for the kingdom of God. A believer that lives in sin is useless for the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord for redemption. Praise the Lord for deliverance. Amen, church? Amen. They make us useless. The more that we would understand this, church, the more I think we could get back on track. The more that we understand that sin in our life, bitterness, hatred, anger, envy, pride, selfishness, the more we would understand that to destroy our life and make us useless for the kingdom of God, I think it would be a little bit easier to get back on track with the Lord, to repent. We don't like that word in church. We don't like the world doesn't like that word. Repent. Well, why don't we like this word repent? Because it leads to change. You're telling me I got to give up the sin in my life. You're telling me I got to give up this in my life. Yeah, I am. Because the Lord doesn't want us to have it. The Lord doesn't want you to have weeds in your life. There's weeds have consequences. Well, how do we remove these weeds in our life? You have to know the Word of God. Know the Word of God in your life. Believers don't know the Word of God like they should. Believers don't know their Bibles like they should. They don't know the Scriptures like they should. Because if we knew the Scriptures, we would know how bad sin is. We would know how God thinks about sin. If we knew the Word of God, we might sin a little less. You have to know the Word of God, and you have to ask God for wisdom. So, like I said, when I'm in the garden, when I was a kid, I had a hard time figuring out sometimes what's the weed? And what's the plant? The early stages, sometimes that's hard to figure out. Some weeds do look like plants, but they're not. They're weeds. So you got to ask God for wisdom in your life. Oh, is he so loving to give us his wisdom? Some of you I've heard, I don't even know where that came from. I said this to this person. I don't know where it came from. I wouldn't say something like that. That's God speaking through you. Some of you have experienced that. Hopefully we've all experienced that if we're a believer in Christ. The Holy Spirit gives us the words to speak so often. We got to pray and ask God for wisdom. Because this world is filled with weeds. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. That's a promise, church. That if you ask God for wisdom in your life, Lord, I don't know if this is a weed. I think it's a weed. I don't know. Maybe it's a decision in your life. Lord, this might be a weed. This could destroy my life. Ask God for wisdom. And what does it say? If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God. Don't ask the world. Don't ask yourself. Ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. The Lord loves to give wisdom. The Lord loves to give his knowledge. The Lord loves to give discernment to those who ask. Here's the problem, church. When's the last time you've asked God for wisdom? Some of us are asking God for wisdom when it's too late. Now, it's never too late to ask God to help you in your life. I'm not saying that. But we've already allowed the weed to sprout up. We've already seen, it's already flourished. It's already scorching the plants. And then we say, Lord, I think this is a weed. We're not asking God before we make decisions in life that are leading to destruction, that's leading to malnourishment. And we wonder, wow, how did that get so big? I've seen some pretty huge weeds. Some of you have probably seen some pretty huge weeds. I remember we at our old house, it was more of a mission at this point. We had this weed that was growing by our shed. The thing turned into a tree. It was double the size of me. And Savannah said, you got to cut that down. I said, no, this is a mission at this point. I want to see how big this thing can get. This thing was huge, and I mean, we're talking about this big around. You couldn't get it with a weed eater, nothing like that. You got to use a chainsaw for this weed. It took a lot to get this weed out. Finally got it. I did cut it down when it started to die. But we look at this weed in our life. Wow, that's huge. Why did we let it get so huge? Maybe you've been struggling with this temptation, this sin in your life. Keep falling to it. keep messing up. Maybe it's alcohol. Maybe it's drugs. Maybe it's pornography. Maybe it's lying. Man, how'd that get so big? I've been there before. I thought I had this one under control. I'd spritz it with a bottle every now and then. I'd get clean for a day or two. Just keeps growing. Just keeps getting bigger. Because you didn't take the proper steps. What's the proper steps? Knowing the Word of God. Drawing close to God. Allowing God to remove it. There are some weeds in our life that we can't remove. You don't have the strength. Just as the weed eater didn't have the strength to take down that giant weed, we often don't have the strength to take down some of the weeds in our life. But God does. There's no weed, listen to me, church, there's no weed that God can't take down. There's no weed that God can't remove in your life. If you've been struggling with this weed in your life, this sin in your life, this evil that's in your life, this misery that's in your life, this loneliness that is in your life, the suffering that is in your life, there's no weed big enough for the Lord. There's no weed big enough for the Lord that He can't take it down in your life, that He can't remove. There's no sin that God can't forgive. There's no sin that keeps us from being restored to God. The blood of Christ is too powerful. The blood of Jesus Christ is too powerful to allow the weeds to grow in our life. If we let it, if we apply it to our life. The second thing, how do you remove sin? First, you got to know the Word of God. You got to ask God for wisdom. You got to know your weaknesses. Like I said with the big weed, we let it get so big. Some of us are actively planting weeds in our life. The devil sometimes plants weed by tempting us and it's putting people in our lives. But sometimes we do it to ourselves. Listen to me, if you have an alcohol problem, you ought not to be at the bar. You're just allowing the devil to tempt you. If you struggle with I'll go to the extreme, church. If you struggle with pornography, some of you probably shouldn't have smartphones. Know your weaknesses. You keep putting yourselves in situations where it's pretty hard not to fall to temptation. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Is that not what the Word of God says, church? Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Sin's a dangerous thing. Weeds are a dangerous thing. There are some weeds that are poisonous that will kill you. Some of you that don't know Christ, maybe you aren't a believer in Christ. You got weeds all through your life. And there'll be a time where they'll poison you to death, to the grave. That might be a difficult thing to hear, but it is true. Sin's not a thing to mess with. Maybe we might see more salvations in Christ if we deal with the weeds in our life. Amen, church? Amen. If you struggle with something, don't go near it. Don't go near it. It's no good for you. But oh wow, is the devil good at whispering? Step a little closer. Move a little closer. The smell's not that bad, is it? Then that smell moves to a taste. And the taste fills your whole body. And you've fallen. Fall into temptation over and over and over again. Let's read it again. It says, but while everyone was sleeping, verse 25, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. Often the devil does that. Throws you Falls a sin, moves on to the next one. Oh, got him. Move on to the next field. Move on to the next farmer. We got him. When the wheat sprouted and formed head, the weeds also appeared. That's how the devil sows weeds in our life. But let's look about how there's weeds in the world. Verse 27. It says, the owner's servants came to him and said, sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from? An enemy did this, he replied. The servants asked him, you want us to go and pull them up? No, he answered, because while you are pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into the barn. See, we live in a world filled with weeds. Not so much the sin in our life. There's sin in the world, obviously. But what is this parable talking about? It's describing the believer and the non-believer. There's weeds, there's evil, there's sin, there's people who claim to be Christians, but they aren't Christians. That wheat that looks like wheat. False believers in this world. Sin filled. What's this showing us? One day, there'll be a harvest. And what happens at the harvest? It says, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned, and then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn. Some of us might ask this question. I asked it when I first read it. Why not just pull the weeds now? Why wait until the harvest? Well, the farmer here says why, but you see this immense amount of patience from the farmer. Not to pull the weeds too quickly, but let them grow together. Because if you pull them too quickly, you might uproot some of the wheat. You might mess up some of the wheat. And obviously that ruins the harvest. There's not as many at the harvest. But let me apply this to today. Why is it so important that Christ hasn't come back yet? Hopefully, if you're a believer, you're longing for it, you're waiting for it, because that's the place where there's no evil, there's no misery, there's no sin, sorrow. There's only the joy of the Lord. There's only joy. There's everlasting life there. But you see the immense amount of patience from the Father today. You see sin running rampant. And you ask, Lord, how on earth haven't you come back yet? Still people. There's still weeds. To be saved. I thank the Lord he didn't come back before I came to Christ. I hope you can say the same. Some of us have moms and dads, brothers and sisters and friends that don't know the Lord. Praise the Lord, he hasn't come back yet. That's how important it is. The Lord wants the harvest to be big. He's not hoping just for a few wheat. He's not hoping for just a few good seeds to sprout up and be wheat. What does the Word of God say? He wants the whole world to come to know Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I'll be so glad and happy when he comes back. I will. It will be a wonderful day. But I'm glad he's given me time to share the message that turns the weeds to wheat. I hope you can say the same in your life. I hope you see this immense amount of urgency in this passage, don't you? One day there will be a harvest. And when the harvest comes, it's too late. The weeds are tied up. They're burned. What is that? That's hell. That's separation from the God. Separation from Christ. And God doesn't want anyone to go there. But when the harvest comes, it's too late. It's ready. It's time to go. But it says, then gather the wheat and bring it into the barn. Well, if you're a believer in Christ, that's you. You're going to the barn. You're the good seed. You're the wheat. You're going to the barn. You have nothing to fear. You won't be in the bundles tied up. But I hope and pray that you should be in this world. Urgent. To share the message of Christ. To share the love of Christ. Well, let me tell you something too. We can often be judgmental, church. What does that mean? We're not the harvesters. It's an important part of this message. You don't pluck the wheat and you don't pluck the... You're the wheat. You're not the harvester. Many of us are sitting here, oh, there's no way that person's saved. No way that person's saved. They messed up too many times. No way that person's saved. Not your place. You're not the harvesters. First, you have to ask the question to yourself, am I a wheat? That's the most important question you can ask yourself today. Am I a wheat? How do you know if you're a wheat? Well, the Word of God says you'll know them by their fruit. You'll know them by their fruit. Are you producing good fruit? Have you come to Christ? It's not our job to harvest the wheat and the weeds. We're not knowledgeable enough to know. I don't see into the heart, but God does. Praise the Lord, He does. Praise the Lord, He sees into the heart. Well, it's interesting, if you're like me and you're like the disciples, they didn't know what this meant either. When I first read this without studying it, I have no idea what this passage means. So the disciples asked Jesus a question, verse 36. Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field. He answered, the one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are the angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out his kingdom, everything that causes sin, and all who do evil. They will throw them in the burning furnace. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears, let them hear. I think that last part is the most important. Whoever has ears, let them hear. This is the most important message that anyone can hear. That there's one day going to be a judgment day where you're going to stand before the throne. And if you don't have Christ, you're going to give an account of your life. And listen to me, if you have sin in your life, if you've broken the law, you're going to stand before the Father and there's nothing you can say. But with Christ, you don't stand before the white throne judgment. With Christ, you don't stand and be are condemned by God. Christ covers us. He's made us into the wheat. Judgment will come, and the wheat and the weeds will be separated. It's tough to live in this world, church. Maybe you haven't noticed. It's tough. People who do evil, wickedness, Satan's running loose. Sin abounds and abounds. World doesn't know what right and wrong is anymore, or if they ever did. It's tough. So when the Lord comes, no longer going to be tough. Sickness you have here, No more. Disease you have here, no more. No diabetes in heaven. None of that in heaven. Praise the Lord if you're part of the wheat. You could have lived your whole life looking like a wheat. Maybe you're here today. You're part of the church. You're a member of the church. Not the church. Here. You look like a wheat. And we don't know. We're not the harvesters. I don't know if you're a wheat or a weed. But you do. You've come to church Sunday and Wednesday your whole life. Maybe you've been coming for 30 years. I don't know. But without Christ, you're a weed. Without Christ, you're a weed. You could have done good things in your life. What the world would say is good. But without Christ, you're a weed. You're a weed. And the harvesters know. When the harvest comes and judgment comes, the angels aren't like, well, they went to church every day. The harvesters know what's wheat and what's a weed. Playing the church game doesn't get you into heaven. Going down to the soup kitchen, volunteering at the life houses, don't get you into heaven. That would be based on you. It's nothing by what we do. Well, what is it by? This is very important, church. John 14:6, many of us know. What does Jesus say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. No one comes to the Father except through Christ. The harvesters know who's in Christ and who's not. Will you be a part of the harvest? Will you be a part of the wheat? Will you go into the barn? Are your friends going to the barn? Are they going to heaven? If not, if you have doubts, maybe you should share the message of Christ. Maybe you should share John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It is through Christ and Christ alone. Well, how do you become a wheat? Believe in Christ. Believe that Christ is Lord and give your life to Him. Believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven. Believe He's the Son of God. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is the Son of God, and you believe in your heart that Christ or God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Wow. Couldn't make it there on our own. But wow, did He make it so simple for us. Confess that Jesus is Lord. Believe that God raised Him from the dead. And you will be saved. Believe. Believe. Simple as that. Does that not show how much God wants us to go to heaven? God doesn't want the weeds to go to hell. But because God is holy and God is righteous, nothing unholy comes into the presence of God. And what does the word say? Christ gives us His righteousness so that we can stand in the presence of God. Praise the Lord for Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We all have weeds in our life. Things we do wrong. Sins in our life. Things we mess up that keep us from growing in Christ. Sometimes derails our whole life, destroys our life. But listen to me. Christ is always willing to take you back. He's always willing. You might have lots of weeds in your life. He's always willing. If you say, Lord, remove them from my life, He'll remove them. He'll take them away. He won't let them be there anymore. And He'll give you the strength to keep putting them out, to keep removing them in your life. But remember, the world is filled with sin and evil. Sin and evil, misery, suffering, hardness. But one day, there's a harvest. One day, there's a harvest where you don't have to live in misery and suffering and evil and wickedness anymore. Family doesn't have to live in it anymore. Do you need to share the gospel with somebody? Maybe you need to pray this morning that God would open some doors in your life so that that friend, that loved one, might be a part of the wheat. Let's stand, church.